Let's pray. Father in heaven, we worship you today through the study of your word and continue with that which you have put into us by your Holy Spirit. And I pray today that the word of God would work in us, that the Spirit of God would work powerfully through the word of God into our understanding and our acknowledgement of the truth that in you, Christ Jesus, this is your church, and as you declared, you would build your church. So then we then, as workers together with you, Lord, we're not ashamed to be called your children. And so we ask of you to teach us today by the Holy Spirit, and that you would continue this equipping of the saints that you began a long time ago, and that we could continue in that course and path with you. And this I pray in Jesus' name, amen. Now, I offer up to you today, who wants to be filled under the fullness of God? This is our prayer, right? So you think of, if you can ask exceedingly abundantly above all that you could ask or think, what would you ask for? Would you ask for all the riches in the world? I mean, this is everything that's ever presented. Some people treat God like a, you know, rub the genie bottle, out comes God, and here's all your wishes you could ever have. And I offer up that God desires for you to live filled with him, okay? To be filled unto the fullness of God. This is the end of chapter 3 where Paul's describing this whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. Well, could you imagine having church and God wasn't there? If you could imagine having church and you say this is a place where we all gather together, or people who, again, revealed in the scripture that the Spirit would live within, and it's, well, where's God? See, I offer this in this context as I'm thinking about this. I want to live filled up with God. And so the instruction out of 3:22, in whom also you are being built together for a dwelling place of God, the Holy Spirit. Well, verse 19, the prayer was, right, that we would be, well, not 19, 3, where am I? Oh, I'm in chapter 2. That's what's going wrong. Chapter 3, there you go, that you might be him able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, this reason, dwell, able to comprehend, to know the love of Christ. There it is, 3:19. Okay. Is that how you guys look for the Bible? To know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, come to chapter 4, Paul really pleads with the church to walk worthy of the calling of being a child of God. Verse 1, and to follow Jesus Christ unto this acknowledgement that the same power of God and the same gifts of grace that Paul received to go out and be an apostle and to bring this word of God to the church at Ephesus, and now he's writing back to him. So as I would give you instruction today, this is how church always starts. Church starts with establishing. You go and preach the gospel, and those that believe and receive the gospel are born from above, and the church is established. This is the book of Acts. Gospel goes forth. Acts 8, gospel goes forth up to Samaria. They believe and receive the gospel. The church is established. Immediately the apostles come, pray, lay hands on. They're filled with the Holy Spirit, and the church being established is immediately strengthened by the Spirit. Paul, when he shows up in Ephesus, Acts chapter 19, again, he found believers there, and they were not yet baptized with the Holy Spirit. They believed upon John's baptism of repentance, but he baptized them into Christ, lays hands on them, Spirit of God comes upon them. See, how can you be filled with God unless it's God who filled you? I mean, do you have the capability to fill yourself up with something that you don't have until you have it? These are the simple truths, and I guess in strengthen and encourage you, because as the church is established in the book of Acts, Paul writes his letters back to the church, and he goes back and visits them. And that's why we call them four missionary journeys, but I study the scriptures. The term missionary journey is not in the Bible. We like to call it that for our understanding. But he went out, and the Holy Spirit sent them out, and they followed the Holy Spirit. You know, remember how the Holy Spirit kept him from going to one area? And then he gets a vision to come over to Philippi, crosses over, and then he's in Europe, as we understand Europe today. And in Philippi, he preaches the gospel, And the church is established in Philippi. They're established by the gospel. And then the Spirit of God strengthens. Now, Paul writes his letters back, and in his visits, you know what he's doing in his visits? I want to make sure you're still here. In a paraphrase, that's not a bad thing, is it? See, because if you're born of God, the evidence should be for you that you being born of God, you would stay with God. And so as the church stayed with God, then he strengthened them. And he taught them some more. And so establish and strengthen. That's the beginning of church. Establish and strengthen. And we come to Ephesians chapter 4, the letters written back. Now something more is going to take place. See, he reveals unto them that they might be filled unto the fullness of God, and that God would do exceeding abundantly above all that could ask or think. Okay? According to what? According to the power of God. According to the power that works in us, and it's all for the glory of God. Therefore, in this walking worthy, and these gifts of grace that have been given to each one of the measure of Christ's gift, my devotions this morning is glory to God. What do we have to boast in? If God saves somebody, and you share the gospel with them, and they believe and receive, and you give them the opportunity to believe and receive, what are you going to boast in? Yeah, I preach the gospel now, and I've got... I have to check my belt there. I've led 70,000 people to the Lord. I mean, that's off. But what is this work of God. This work of God would be in us, and it would then go forth from us. So we come to the context here of this, that the one who descended to the lower parts of the earth has ascended far above all heavens, and I declare unto you, that's the Son of God. Only the Son of God has come from heaven, born of a virgin, again, miraculous supernatural birth in Bethlehem, laid in a feed trough. I've seen a feed trough carved out of a stone, and what they probably would have laid Jesus in. I've seen the shepherd's fields in Bethlehem. The lay of the land is still the same. And you go see these things, and you get an understanding of what God did, and that Jesus came to the lower parts of the earth, and he died on the cross, and he rose again. And in that rising again, ascended into heaven supernaturally. The apostles were walking with him, and Jesus just rises up in a cloud up into heaven. And they're staring up into the sky, and the angels said, what are you looking for? Okay, what are you looking up there for? He said, Jesus will come in the same way that he went. And then they went back into Jerusalem, and they were told to wait until they were endued with power from on high. Now, if we can start and do church 2,000 years later differently than they did in the beginning, something's goofy with that, right? Or off, again, as I just appeal to you, to the scriptures, okay? So what has God done with us? He's established us through the gospel of Jesus Christ. How do you join church? You must be born again. You must believe and receive the gospel to be born into the kingdom of God. In fact, without the new birth, without regeneration, without being born from above, what did our Lord teach? You can't see the kingdom of heaven. So, very straightforward, as he establishes, establish and strengthen. Okay. Now, let's get on to what we need to get on to next, okay, which is the scriptures. And let's see, let's go this way. All right. He himself, verse 11, 4:11, it's really where the study begins today. Jesus himself, he himself gave some to be apostles. Now that word there for gave is the same way in the Greek, in the same conjugation, the same grammar as John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. A gift. And so, again, you think of giving his son, he gives the fullness of Jesus Christ. Paul, writing to the church, now is instructing the church at Ephesus that God gave the apostles. Now, not everybody's an apostle. And so when he writes to the Corinthian church, 1 Corinthians 12, 28 and 29, he's talking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and he says God has given to the church, he says, apostles, prophets, and teachers. And then in 29, because he's talking about, does everybody have the gift of tongues? And the answer to that question is a rhetorical one. Says not everybody's an apostle, not everybody is a prophet, not everybody's a teacher, not everybody has these gifts of the Spirit. But what does God do? 1 Corinthians 12, he distributes the gifts amongst the body. But Paul acknowledging with the church at Ephesus that Jesus himself gave some to be apostles. So if you think about this instruction of that Jesus imparted to the apostles, his teaching, they walked with him for 3 years. They were yoked together with him. They submitted to him. They saw all of his miraculous power. They were witnesses of his resurrection from the dead. And they were sent forth. And then as they went forth and preached the gospel, and those that believed were born from above and the church being established, and then they would strengthen the church. But Paul now in verse 11 takes it further into maturity. He himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. So this expands upon 1 Corinthians 12:28. And the expansion is evangelists. Thus Paul acknowledging with Ephesus how it was that there were those who came and brought the gospel to them. Now the ones that brought the gospel, Apollos came there with the gospel, Priscilla and Aquila were there with the gospel, and they weren't apostles. I like how God does this. You think of Acts chapter 8, and you have Philip, the evangelist, who is also a deacon. Philip, as the evangelist, comes and preaches the gospel to Samaria, and they believe and receive. And so that there really is only three people who are described as evangelists in the scriptures, and Philip being one of them. Timothy is told to do the work of an evangelist, but I think Paul also is talking about himself as an evangelist. In fact, if you look at this and you consider Silas and Barnabas were prophets according to Acts chapter 15, I think it's verse 24. And so you've got this framework of Jesus building his church, but I recall to your memory, you know what God is doing? He's taking the Jewish believers in Christ Jesus who had the writings of the prophets in the Tanakh, and he's putting this together because he's saying it's one body in Christ, Jew and Gentile. And now he's laying out exactly how does God take the Jewish believers, the Gentile believers, and he's writing to the Gentile believers in Ephesus. How does he put this together? Well, he takes the apostles of Jesus who were sent forth into the world to preach the gospel and to teach the teachings of Jesus and bear witness to his resurrection, together with the prophets who saw of old that God would send his Messiah into the world, and he takes the prophets and apostles. You know where that's all recorded for us? In the Word of God. So we today have the apostles and the prophets. Now, we shouldn't just scoff at that. You're like, what do I need when I come to church? I need to hear what God gave to us. I need to know what God gave to these prophets. And like, why was Jesus born in Bethlehem? Well, that was prophesied by Micah. And then and you're like, well, why was Jesus, why did he ride in on a donkey on that particular day? Well, Zacharias said he would. And like, you're looking at this whole thing, and I'm looking at it this way, and I just offer up to us, it's time for us to grow up in the Lord. Okay? It's one thing, you say, to establish and strengthen, and could you imagine if the gospel got preached every Sunday at church, and that's as far as you ever grew? Yep, receive the gospel again today. Yep, no, I'm saved. You would go out of here sucking your thumb spiritually all week long. Right? You know, I don't know, I like to tease parents who have their babies, and as their babies are growing, and I asked Brett and Allison about Eden, well, what does she do now? She's 4 months old. What can she do? Right? And it's a, well, and they play along. Well, she does calculus now, you know. But I offer up, we've taken this, I believe the Holy Spirit gave us a charge to be Spirit-filled in all ministry. And if you look at verse 11 with me this way, he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Now, since December 24th, last year, as I closed out 2024 and I sought God's face from Psalm 27:8, the Lord says, seek my face. I said, okay, Lord, I'll seek your face. And in doing so, he told me what 2025 was about. It was about equipping the saints for the work of ministry. And in doing so, took up this Spirit-filled teaching that he gave and gives that were to be Spirit-filled in all ministry. So I offer up another one now because now that we close up what, again, from the summer outreach and God has opened the door, we accomplished the work that we needed to do this summer. I don't know if you guys can rejoice with me over how wonderful that was. He showed us in April what needed to be done, and we went forth and did it in 4 months, and now the open door to take the gospel and teaching, the preaching and teaching, into Valley City, Wahpeton, Jamestown, which wasn't going on from us before, is now open, and I'm rejoicing that God did this. And now we're on to this next one. So I talk about being spirit-filled with all ministry. Look at verse 12 with me, for the equipping of the saints. Now, I like reading this out of the Young's literal translation. Unto the equipping of the saints, comma, okay, for the work of ministry. So thus revealing the preposition. And again, I'm not overemphasizing the preposition, but verse 12, the for in English, for the equipping of the saints, the first for into English, which I'd say unto, it has with it a this is going before you. So much like we would talk in our prepositions, and this preposition is unto the equipping of the saints, meaning it's not done yet. But God gave apostles, prophets, again, Old Testament prophets and New Testament prophets, if you read through the book of Acts, and then he gives evangelists, and he gives pastors and teachers. And if we're honest, this is really where the church now resides in the operation. It's the pastor and teacher who takes the doctrine of the apostles, the prophets, why we study the whole Bible. And it's the pastor and teacher who is seeing to it that we grow up in the teaching and this part of evangelism, and we have evangelists. And when you consider what this goes before, for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, and that's the Spirit-filled in all ministry. Now, that's only half of what has to happen. So in February of 2018, February 9th on 2018, find your way to Proverb 9 with me. Now, I read a proverb a day. My pastor wrecked me years ago. For good. Not for bad, for good. And I read a proverb every day. Now, it's not, if I don't read one, well, I read it. I don't know. I can't remember the last time I missed my proverb a day. Maybe I do, but I can't remember the last one. Wisdom has built her house. She has hewn out her seven pillars. Now, Proverb 14 says, a wise woman builds her house, the foolish one tears it down with her hands. Jesus says, I'll build my church. Acts 16, or what is that? Matthew 16. Jesus building his church, and a wise woman builds and doesn't tear down. And so God gave us a wisdom. And wisdom has built her house, hewn out her seven pillars. And pillar number seven is the perfecting of the saints, is Acts 4:12, the perfecting of the saints. That's actively always going on. So in this equipping, King James says perfecting. And you look at the word equipping and perfecting. When you think of perfecting, you might think of maturity. You might think of finished, complete. But the word actually, I like equipping better here. So the King James word perfecting causes me to think of the completion, but that word does not mean completion. It simply means the equipment that you need for the works of ministry. So if it's a spiritual warfare, what do you need? Spiritual armor. You need equipment. But the word equipping is much like we would understand. You're going to take a voyage on a ship. That ship must have all of its equipment on it. Now, I love touring the Midway. Again, it's docked in San Diego. It's the aircraft carrier, which has been decommissioned, and now it's a museum, and you can go up and down all the way through the five or six stories of the Midway, and you can see, in action what a aircraft carrier was. And I love the machine room. You're like, what's wrong with you that you love the machine room? Well, it's the equipping. If something breaks, if something goes wrong, that ship has to have all of its equipment. Now, this reaches me because we're past establish the church and strengthen the church around to what now? Everywhere that gospel went, received by the believers, That church is to have all of the equipment, all of the equipping in it to do what? To do the work of ministry. Now, what's the work of ministry, you might ask? Whatever Jesus did, that's what we do. What you see in Jesus, do that. I mean, this is his church and his ministry. And so I put words to it. And again, I'll share the words with you. What did Jesus do? He went about doing good. What is the good that Jesus went about doing? Well, he preached the gospel of the kingdom, and he taught the word of God, and he healed all those oppressed of the devil. Can you do that, church? Not until I'm equipped. See, and this is where we're at when we hit Acts chapter 4. 4:12, for the equipping of saints for the work of ministry, be spirit-filled in all ministry. Now, in the grammar with Young's, unto the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, and then the grammar, hear it this way now, unto the equipping of saints for the edifying of the body of Christ. Now, one of my favorite titles that I did, teaching, was double E, double plus, right? And again, it's a play on a phrase that I've taken from an old TV show, but like an efficiency rating. But if you listen closely, we're to be abundant in the equipping of the saints and the edifying of the body of Christ. So you've been hearing me say over and over again, spirit-filled in all ministry, spirit-filled in all ministry. You're probably broken record, but has it not helped you to go forth? And I'm going to seek God's Holy Spirit for what? The work of ministry. And the last 4 months have been work of ministry, work of ministry. Now, here's the new phrase today. I was challenging my daughters that again this morning. I said to them, do you want to know what I, again, spirit-filled and all, and I was taunting them to see if they would want, come on, Dad, tell us in advance. No, you got to wait. And then one of them has word of knowledge. I said, did the Lord show you? And nope. So this is it. Okay, so the edifying of the body of Christ. The term edifying is a building term. You know, again, you footnote it, you probably say building up. But now I'm going to say this to you this way. We are to be spirit-filled for all bodybuilding. Okay? I knew somebody would like this, right? Spirit-filled for all bodybuilding. Now, we talk about spirit-filling the work of ministry. Did you miss this part of Jesus where he nurtured and again, think about that. He built up his church. Pillar 7 was perfecting the saints for the work of ministry. I laid out all 7 pillars. And so this perfecting of the saints for the work of ministry so that we become mature and complete. And I introduced you today for the edifying of the body of Christ, for the spirit-filled in all bodybuilding. Okay, spirit-filled in all bodybuilding. Now, unfortunately, when I say bodybuilding, all of you probably have some sort of vision that comes to mind. Right? But I remember seeing Josiah when he was a skinny little guy. I've got pictures when his ribs showed and he could, you know, they still do. Okay. But the body of Christ. Okay, now do you hear this? God gave the apostles some, right? And some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Well, I take this to heart, and so I'm here to fulfill this for Jesus and to be spirit-filled in all edifying of the body. You should be built up in Jesus Christ. In fact, as we tie this together and build it up and grows, we're gonna rely upon the instructions that God gives in the other parts of Scripture as well. So you just take Ephesians 4:12 in your notes and you associate 1 Corinthians 12 and Romans 12. When I say Romans 12, all of you in church would say what? Genuine church. If you have gifts of prophecy, you should be prophesying. If you have gifts of giving, you should be giving cheerfully. If you have gifts of leading, you should be leading. If you have gifts of teaching, you should be teaching. That's the way this works in genuine church. Offer your bodies as living sacrifices. I put my hands up to surrender, right? That's what it is. I offer my body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Okay? And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, as the Word of God gets into you and it dwells there, and again, edifying of the body of Christ, And if Jesus builds his church and a wise woman builds her house and the foolish woman tears it down, the church being the bride of Christ, we'll get to that in chapter 5 of Ephesians, what are we now working together with Jesus to do what? Be Spirit-filled in all bodybuilding. Be Spirit-filled in all bodybuilding. Now, you belong here. Okay? It's important to be here so that you know that you belong here and that you then have this together. And God puts you in a body. You know, God never intended that church would be a place of destination where you attend, but it would be the people of which you join together into Christ Jesus with, and you're one body together. Make no mistake about it, if you're here, you belong here. Because Satan's always working what? He's always lying to you. Don't follow his lies. So now in this Spirit-filled and all bodybuilding, the edifying of the body of Christ, to build up rather than to tear down. Do you know that flattery works ruin? According to the scriptures. You know that gossip will destroy a church very quickly. And you hear these things, edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man. Again, now that word perfect is to a mature, and the idea here is no longer children. So when the church is first started, it's born again and it's established. The gospel seed is received, believed upon, it sprouts, born again, the church is established, and then along it needs to be strengthened. Now, what does a baby need to be strengthened? Milk of the word, right? Peter says, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word. Well, what's Paul teaching them in the beginning? Partially digested food of God's word. What's the apostle doing? He's spoon-feeding the Thessalonians. He says, you were dear to us, and like a nursing mother, he describes all these things. Now, when we get on to this becoming of full age, what does, when you become a full age, what do you eat? T-bone steak, right? You like the bone, and then you like chew around the bone, and then, oh, that piece is tough, but I'm going to chew every bit of meat out of that tough piece, right? We chew on things. Now, Spirit-filled in all bodybuilding, I'm just going to say this, it's time for us to grow. And every one of you plays a part in this. Okay, so now get your lazy pants off and put on your diligent pants, okay? I mean, isn't that what this is? You think of this, I was calling us to action to be Spirit-filled in all ministry, the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry. Now, unto the equipping of the saints for edifying of the body, this one might be more fun for some of you. Some of you love going and doing outreach and going out. Others, you're like, I can't wait till it's, now let's get to work. So if you're not being discipled right now, I'm saying this is the year to be discipled. And then if you're not discipling another, this is the year to start doing what? To disciple another. And so if I can just give you a view, again, remember this, lazy pants off, diligent pants on, okay? Put off the old man, put on the new man who's renewed, in the Spirit-filled and all bodybuilding, till what? Well, let's read this. He gave gifts to men, and then he gives the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for, again, do you know that we're only studying one sentence today? 11 through 16 is one sentence. So every one of these is a qualifier along the way for the equipping of saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. When you hear that now, Spirit-filled and all bodybuilding, till we all come to the unity of the faith. Now, right there, put Galatians 2:20. Galatians 2:20. For I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Do you hear that phrase? The life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Now, what does that mean? The unity of the faith. What faith are we talking about? The faith of the Son of God. The faith of Jesus Christ. We live by the faith of the Son of God. This is why we can have unity, or again, we would even say this word, unanimity in the faith. Now, I like this because this is how we conduct all of our board meetings in Calvary Chapel, Fargo. We do not make any decisions unless it's unanimous. Is it God? Okay? And this is the unity of the faith. How do you get unity of the faith? Well, it's the faith of the Son of God in each and every part of the body, as each part of the body is spirit-filled in all bodybuilding. So, you know, when you think of somebody who's been bodybuilding, all of you get this, oh, they're bulky or whatever. How do you view church? When I say abundant church, how do you view a spiritual body that has been built up and equipped? Till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. Now, that knowledge there is the epigenosis. So we say gnosis, again out of the Greek, is the experiential knowledge, but this is the epigenosis, or we'd say in English, the full acknowledgement of the Son of God. Now, I like that because we have the knowledge of who he is, but now we can stand upon it and say, this is what it means to have the Son of God come to the earth and do this, and to have the Son of God living in his church, that it's his. He's the head, the full acknowledgement that Jesus is the head of the church, and the acknowledgement of that, what does he do? Well, he builds his church. And if he's building his church by his spirit and his teaching, well, then I'm building up the church. Or in other words, I'm spirit-filled in all bodybuilding. So, men's ministry, right? Women's ministry, okay? Children's ministry. What are these?
Ministry.
That is bodybuilding, right? What'd you say?
Ministry.
It's bodybuilding. Spirit-filled in all bodybuilding. Discipleship meetings. Do you know that there is a marriage discipleship and a pre-marriage discipleship that's very live and active in our church? Okay? And so these things that you partake of and that you do, if you need to be discipled, men, you talk to John. He'll either disciple you or he'll get it distributed out. Ladies, if you need to be discipled, talk to Tanya. So men's ministry leader, women's ministry leader, and these are the things. And then others, if you're available to disciple, okay, these are the things that I believe God is wanting us to be, spirit-filled and all bodybuilding. The knowledge of the Son of God. What are you discipling them in? Well, how about you start here? Disciple them in following the Son of God. I need to be discipled in the cross. If anyone would come after me, Jesus says, deny yourself, take up the cross, and follow me. What is discipling? Well, if we're going to talk about the works of ministry that Jesus did, right? So you have the works, but did you miss this other part? The walk of Jesus. So if you connect together in all this bodybuilding, and I think it'll come through today's teaching, we come to the unity of faith, the knowledge of the Son of God, meaning the full acknowledgement that Jesus is the perfect one. When it says the perfect man, and then the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, it means this. Jesus never sinned, and he came to live that life. God with us. And as Jesus walks on the earth, he is the one who we are growing up into. We're babes, right? Born again. And then from that point forward, we are being nourished in the Word of God, and then the nourished in the words of faith, and we're being strengthened, and we should be growing to be like Jesus. And this is what he says. So again, one sentence, okay, till we all come to the unity of the faith, knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, now you're starting to be like Jesus Christ in the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Well, how do I measure Jesus? Never sinned. How do I measure Jesus Christ? Perfect in all of his ways. Okay. Full of knowledge, full of truth, full of love. And then 14, that we should no longer be children. Now, this is very picturesque in the Greek meanings of these words. We should no longer be children. Because what happens to children? Well, spiritually, this is what Paul is now instructing the church at Ephesus. They're tossed to and fro. It's a violent action. It's a tossing to and fro, which describes on the waves, and not the nice smooth waves that we love on the lake. Oh, look at just a gentle wave. No, this is a toss to and fro from violent waves, so that if anyone has ever been in a storm, I don't know which way is up. Okay, so now this has with it, okay, now I'll put it to your mind, James chapter 1. We count it all joy when we fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of our faith worketh patience. What is this instruction? These are all terms of bodybuilding. Listen, I know you're going through a storm. The same word here, Matthew 7:24. Foolish man built his house upon the sand, the wise man built his house upon the rock. So you take this word, and Jesus himself taught us everything we need to know. Do you know that if you just took Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and followed everything in red, you would turn out really, really good. You would grow really, really well. If you just took everything Jesus said and you learned that and you put it into life, so I'm just going to instruct you, for your discipleship this year, start in Matthew 5, 6, and 7. Okay? Because we're going to be Spirit-filled in all bodybuilding. So I don't know when the last time you applied Matthew 5, 6, and 7 in your personal life, but what you can do now is you can take Matthew 5, 6, and 7, you can get together, and you can build each other up in the teachings of Jesus, because the foolish man who built his house upon the sand, those violent winds blew, and great was the fall of that house that was not built upon doing what Jesus said. A wise man built his house upon the rock, and he heard what Jesus said, and he put it into practice. Spirit-filled in all bodybuilding. I just get to say that over and over. Spirit-filled in all bodybuilding. So if you have a teaching ministry, okay, so catch this, no longer be children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine. Now, many are carried about for anything. You think of those that follow a sporting team, they'll be carried about. I'm going to go watch them over here. They'll travel, they'll spend thousands of dollars to be carried about for their team. So every wind of doctrine. Now I bring you back to verse 12 and or 11 and how important this is, pastors and teachers. The word for teaching and doctrine, is it rooted in the same word? It is very important that you're not violently tossed about by various doctrines. So if you're watching, you know, internet doctrine, you're probably being tossed all about. I remember one lady listening to the radio, and she would listen to a cessationist teach that you should not be filled with the Holy Spirit, and the very next teacher on the same radio station was saying, you absolutely need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You know what she's saying? Which is it? Well, she was childish, being tossed to and fro between the doctrines. And so as we teach, okay, this is how we grow up. This is how we're no longer children. Now, our children's ministry, they grow up. We take our children through the Bible. And as parents, some of you know this, like, my kids know things that I'm just getting to. And it's a good thing. Because as you grow, okay, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men. Now the word there for trickery, and I'm gonna see if I have it in the King James. The trickery of men, the sleight of men. The word there for sleight or trickery is the dice. Just like somebody would be with gambling with dice. I mean, it's the idea of, Las Vegas loves dice. But what do you know about dice? Well, this is the whole point. What is causing Christians to be tossed to and fro, carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men or by the tampering of the dice? Waiting the dice, if you will. That's the word to describe that there are false teachers, and it's the trickery or sleight of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. Jonadab, again, was one of those crafty men that convinced Amnon how to rape his sister. See, this craftiness, that this is why this is the year to grow up, so that we do not fall for the manipulating of the dice or the sleight of men, and then the cunning craftiness. Now, we like clever when it's in a good way. We really do. Like, how did you know to do that? Well, it's the wisdom that God gave me, and I saw what needed to be done, and I built it that way. Now, February 9th, 2018, seven pillars received from the Holy Spirit. What are the seven pillars that Calvary Chapel Fargo needs so that his church can be established and built upon? It has to be prayer, right? Filled with the Holy Spirit. Okay? And then number seven was the perfecting of the saints. Evangelism. Discipleship. I took them out of order. Let me just pull up my notes. Can somebody play the Jeopardy music? Do, 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 do. Some of it, what's Jeopardy? Okay. Yeah, let's do this. I'll go back to the original receiving of this. It's not in that notes. I won't be going back to the original. Pillar prayer. Here you go. Number one, house of prayer. Seven pillars. Are we a house of prayer, or do we just have a reputation of being a house of prayer? Now that's a bodybuilding poking question. Men, have you forgotten the call for the men to pray? Okay, just again, hear that. Second pillar, worship God, holiness. Number three, study God's word. Number four, the Holy Spirit and fullness, dwelling, gifts, ministry of the Holy Spirit. Number five, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Number six, making disciples to follow Jesus. Who can write that fast? You got them? Okay, here they go again. House of prayer, number one, worship God in holiness. Number three, study God's word. Number four, Holy Spirit and fullness, dwelling in gifts. Number five. So all I did was pray for these. There's seven of them. There's 7 days in a week. I just prayed for them. On Monday, I pray for the house of prayer. On Tuesday, I pray for worshiping God in holiness. On Wednesday, I pray for the study of God's word. On Thursday, I pray for the Holy Spirit and fullness, dwelling in gifts. And then on Friday, I pray for the gospel of Jesus Christ in outreach. Does our church share the gospel? Okay, so listen to this. Number six, making disciples to follow Jesus. Where am I at with us now in this Spirit-filled and all bodybuilding? What am I talking to us about today? We need to be discipled, and we need to disciple others. If you're not being discipled, you are insisting on being childish. What happens when you're discipled and learn to follow Jesus? What happens to you? You grow. And when the winds blow and beat on your house, what happens when those storms come? It is able to what? To stand. Number seven, let us go on to perfection. The equipping. Okay. Should have had those ready. Didn't know I was going to use them. No more children. Henceforth, be no more children. Tossed to and fro. A violent action. Okay, no longer tossed to and fro. What does that mean? When trials come into my life, now what do? I don't get tossed about. I don't get tossed about when Satan is working his way to destroy me. It doesn't move me. Okay? I expect it to happen. We start three churches this summer. What do I know before I'm going in? Every one of these that I add, warfare. I open up my private devotional life to all the men down at the Omaha Conference. I use the phrase, against my better judgment. Why do I use that phrase? Because I know as soon as I do that, it's going to be warfare. Now, don't you want to be a church that can fight and withstand against the enemy. And don't you want to be a church that is strong and able to increase in the midst of everything that the enemy throws at us? No longer tossed to and fro, carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men, cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Now here's our grow up solution to this in spirit-filled and all bodybuilding, and this is where you're going to be stretched and pressed, but speaking the truth in love. So we start here. And stop lying to one another. Okay? Meaning what? Let's concentrate on speaking the truth in love to one another. Agape, speaking the truth in love, it's actually, again, one word, compound word, speaking the truth in love. Speaking the truth in love. What does speaking the truth in love do for us in the same body? What does it do? It causes us to grow up. So instead of being tossed to and fro, carried about by every wind of doctrine, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for teaching. It's profitable for correction. It's profitable for this training in righteousness, 2 Timothy 3:16, that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished. Again, it's a maturity statement. What do you disciple other believers with? The Word of God. Okay? Speaking the truth in love. So you cannot be a people pleaser. Why can you not be a people pleaser? Because you will not say the things that the Spirit of God wants you to say to the person that you're discipling. Not every one of my discipleship meetings ends like, oh, that felt so good today. Especially when you're going to speak the truth in love to someone and you say, unless you change, you're going to fall away, or whatever the Holy Spirit might have. Speaking the truth in love may grow up into all things, grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Spirit-filled in all bodybuilding. How can you edify one another in this body? How about this? When someone shares a gift of the Holy Spirit with you, and the Holy Spirit, again, bears witness that that was a gift of the Spirit for you, what can you say to them? You say, amen, that's for me, and then you can follow up with them. I took to heart what you said to me, and I am adding it to my life. Okay? Now, we had an afterglow 4 weeks ago, and we had a gift of the Holy Spirit that night over a list of needs that the Holy Spirit gave a revealing of. Everybody who was there that night, and I went through the list, and I'm praying through the list. You know what I came to? My conclusion? You guys are a needy bunch of people. I was on that list. Now, my prayer is like, Lord, I need you. I mean, do you recognize the flesh with its lusts? Or how about this? Has the world ever been more accessible to every one of us? Has the sinful lust of this world ever been more accessible than it is now? I mean, maybe if you grew up in Corinth or Ephesus, it might have been more accessible. But I'm serious about this idea of speaking the truth in love and discipleship to grow up him into all things. You know that Jesus never had an impure thought. I mean, that should cause all of us here to say, okay, it's time for us to grow up in Christ. And again, these are the things to be spirit-filled in all bodybuilding. I want to grow up into him. He's our head, even Christ, from whom the whole body. So everything comes from him. He's the head of the church. Don't you dare accuse me of ever saying this is my church. And if you ever hear me say it, correct me. I mean, seriously, this is Jesus' church. And now it takes a tone, and this is one body. Verse 16, so you could go from 11 to 16, and everything in 12 through 15 is all qualifying statements. This is how, this is how, this is how, this is why, this is how, this is how, this is why. But it comes to 16. God has given the apostles, prophets, evangelists, and pastors and teachers in this part the equipment that we need for the edifying of the body of Christ. I thought we'd get some more noise, but we only got one noise. The equipping. The whole body fitly joined together. Right there, Ephesians 2:17. He describes it as a building term. If you're going to put and build a house together in two places, it's got to match precisely. That's the idea. We are to fit so well together. Oh, you're playing along today. Very well. So well. We're to fit. So this word, fitly joined together and compacted. Somehow Satan knew that he should bring noise to the building while we're trying to get through this. Key verse, the whole body fitly joined together and compacted. Now here's how this word compacted, it's actually rooted in the word for walk. Amos 3:3, can two walk together unless they are what? Agreed. How do we have unity of the Spirit? Well, by all of us confessing what? Let's not follow the flesh. Likewise, all of us saying, let's go wisdom from above. First of all, pure, peaceable, gentle, or meek, willing to yield. And I offer up, in this Spirit-filled and all bodybuilding, how about your commitment to be fitly joined together and compacted? What holds the body together? Well, what is that which holds us together? Well, peace is the bond of perfection. Love is the bond of perfection. Joy, it's the Spirit of God. It's the Spirit of Christ Jesus. And so to be Spirit-filled in all bodybuilding, the Holy Spirit comes along and gives us an understanding and calls all of us and gives us a body part in a natural body so we could do what? Learn, understand how we are to be fitted together. Now, I think that's dynamic. The whole body fitly joined together and compacted, by which every joint supplies. That's the relationship between people. Every one of us. If you have a relationship in church, in the body of Christ that is strained, that's childish. If you have someone you come to church and are avoiding and don't want to talk to, or if you only talk to part of the people in church, that's very what? Or, Corey, that's so childish. How childish? So childish. There you go. Very good. Now, I want to grow up in the Lord. I'm Spirit-filled in all bodybuilding, speaking the truth in love. And so am I talking to you who won't love each other all the time and in every way? Yes, I'm talking to you. You know, I just went to a recent conference, and one of the pastors, for lack of a better term, stood up and said, church hurt. And I have labored in good doctrine over that phrase, because what's church hurt? Church is people. If someone has sinned against you, what do? You go to them, Matthew 18:15, and you win your brother back. Church hurt just says what? Oh, you know how they are over there. And it's a lie. That is cunning craftiness. Don't let anybody sneak in, right? Because get this, you will be hurt in church because people are there and we sin against each other. And so don't call it church hurt, call it what? Call it an offense. I have been sinned against and I went to my brother and I convinced him that that was sin. And then he forgave me, I forgave him, whichever way that one went. Because guess what, when you confront somebody, what could be the very real possibility? You're the one who's wrong. Didn't see that. Wow, thank you. Because this is about oneness. Whole body fitly joined together and compacted. You know, you got collagen. What happens if you're collagen and you're lanolin? What happens if all your proteins don't function properly? What happens if you don't put rebar in concrete when you're building? See, what happens if we don't take the sound doctrine and incorporate it into the foundational living? You cannot bear up with one another. Love bears all things. Have you not read that part? You can't bear everything at the top of the building when you haven't done what with the foundation? You have to put the Word of God in. So marriages, again, if you have a Christian marriage, it cannot be built upon anything else but the doing of God's word. Church, we can't build it upon other things. The whole body fitly joined together, compacted by which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working. The effectual working is it is God's work in his church and in his body, as each in the work, effectual working in the measure of every part. So the philosophy of I just have to be one better than the worst person in church doesn't quite work. At least I'm not the worst one there. So here's my exhortation to you. Every one of us has a part in this. And every one of us has a part. Well, then do your part. If you know your part, do your part. Well, my part is to, again, be spirit-filled in all bodybuilding. So I expect that as you learn to be spirit-filled, words of encouragement, because building up is an encouragement term. And if you are going to confront and correct instead of ignore and go silent, you guys upset about the cancel culture that's in the world and in the church? I just don't talk to them anymore. Are you tired of that? Because that's we should not be affected by cancel. I'm going to cancel them out of my life. And so this takes this commitment of speaking the truth in love, because we're one body, fitly joined together, compacted by whichever joint supplies, according to the effectual working of the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. And so here's what this is. The environment. What's the best environment to raise children in? Love. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. Wives, submit unto your husband as unto the Lord. What's the best environment for love and obedience? Right? Love and obedience is what causes that child to grow up. Now, take this for church. What's the best environment here? What's the best environment here? Love. Okay? Now, every part does its share. So if somebody comes to you and say, hey, I just don't think you're loving, what are you going to do? I'm hurt by that. Do you know how many people have lied and say, that church isn't very loving, or men's ministry is not very loving, or, I mean, and I just lay this out. Josiah was waiting for this moment where I lean on the pulpit like this, because this is where it gets real for him. Right? Do you really love one another? From the heart. I mean, and this comes down to it. If you see your brother sinning a sin which does not lead unto death, 1 John 4, right? Right around there, what is that, 16, 17, 18? If I have the right reference. If you see your brother sinning a sin that leads to death, you just pray about it? No, you go to him. If someone has sinned against you in the body of Christ, what do? You go to him, win your brother back, your sister. The whole body. So to be spirit-filled in all bodybuilding, each member has a part. Every relationship in church supplies the environment of which we as a church grow in. If you have brothers and sisters suffering, what does that mean for you? Pray with them, and if they're suffering, well, then suffer with them. Remember them. If one is rejoicing, what do? Rejoice with them. Do you know that the sins of envy, right, destroys church? Envy, jealousy. If God is calling someone to be one of these pastors and teachers, do you get envious? Well, I'm not being called to go do that. And they're going to be standing in front and everybody's going to think they're in the... Do you hear yourself? Okay. So in this body of believers, every joint supplies this effectual working of the measure of every part. So what can you do? What can you do to build up one another in the body of Christ? So, Heavenly Father, we ask that you would put into us to be spirit-filled in all bodybuilding, that your church each and every part, every member of this body may edify itself in love. And we humble ourselves and confess openly, we haven't always done the greatest at this. Lord, we can boast in ourselves over works of ministry being spirit-filled, but can we boast now in you that the body building is spirit-filled? And we ask for the Holy Spirit and gifts of the Spirit. We ask for discipleship. We ask for speaking the truth in love. We ask for humbleness of mind. We ask for meekness and lowliness. And we ask for growth, that you would cause your church to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus, that the Word of God would be received and taught, and that the love of God would be received into our hearts, and that your commands for the one another, Lord, we would serve one another, and we would pray for one another, and that you would fill us up unto the fullness of God. And this I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.